Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
The words that Randall uttered before we started the show are about bringing down the system. And I know we've talked about instances here where UFOs have been in and around nuclear installations, certainly the Malmstrom incident, where it looked like ET or whatever was sending the UFOs over, might be doing funky things. And you think how fragile our infrastructure really is. We have an instance where a ransomware attack took out half of the East Coast's oil in America. Then we had the other day one customer of a large internet backbone made a change in the setting and major sites such as Amazon suddenly stopped working for several hours.
Oh boy. Well, I think Jeff can afford it.
Well, probably, but just think about that. How fragile our system is and how vulnerable we are, really are. I mean, we're talking about hackers, but imagine if someone from another planet with advanced weaponry, advanced techniques, wanted to do something really, really funky to this planet. It would be easy as pie for them.
Well, they've actually written not so much about whether or not aliens could do that. I'm sure there's people who have, but people have written about the vulnerability in our infrastructure because of all the automation that it has now. There have been hackers who have hacked into nuclear plants and were able to show how they could turn off cooling systems and shut down entire grids. And yeah, I mean, it's entirely possible, and they're spending a lot of money trying to keep people out of those systems. And of course, not all of them are just your hackers in the basements. You've got foreign countries and foreign powers who are trying to do it too. So yeah, it's an ongoing battle. The war has moved into cyberspace. Curtis, yeah. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome, Kurt Collins. Isn't it enjoyable as we talk about the entire system being brought down and why we don't have to depend on ET of doing it?
Well, I guess that's comforting. There's an old trope in fiction about an extraterrestrial threat causing humanity to unite. And that's been used in fiction since, for ages and ages. It was, and Ronald Reagan had a speech based on probably an episode of a movie, or probably Day the Earth Stood Still, that made him use that. And he talked about, you know, what if there was an alien enemy, and isn't there one among us? So, you know, we have to wonder if it does cross my mind if we're seeing a scenario like that today, whether or not it's real or imagined.
Well, remember in Day the Earth Stood Still, I always think of the original one. I couldn't stand the one with Keanu Reeves. No objection to Keanu Reeves as an actor, and I understand as an individual, he's very charitable, very friendly. But in the original movie with Michael Rennie, in order to prove E.T.'s power, he literally causes the entire Earth's power structure to fail, except he has the power to keep planes flying, to do things that would not physically damage or hurt anybody, but just cause enough so the entire Earth stops running, except for those specific things. And remember, if we're dealing with an alien race that's thousands of years ahead of us, they can do all this magical stuff.
And today that would be, you know, you were just talking about the internet. And of course, that would go down in that scenario. You know, the electricity alone or water or any of our infrastructure wouldn't be critical. But, you know, we're so dependent now on information, you know, for banking and everything, insurance policies. It's just, and you can't even book a hotel room just about, these days without access to the internet. So we would just be crippled in such a scenario. So let's hope that those devious little aliens are not planning anything like that.
It's so ironic because they used to tell us, remember back when the internet was coming, it was like, the internet is practically indestructible. A nuclear bomb could go off and parts of it would still be up. You can't take the whole thing down. Unless you just happen to be the guy sitting at the terminal and put a bracket in the wrong place in a piece of code, you know, like, or push just one button, right, in the wrong place. So it just really does make you wonder sometimes. I still got a wired phone to the wired system. I'm not using a cell phone.
Well, that's interesting. I gave up on my landline a while ago, but you know, I thought I never would, and it's, and they used to carry the internet signal for me, and you know, switched over eventually, and that was probably, at least into the 1960s, was assumed that that would be something that would continue forever. The only change they probably imagined was that you would have a television screen attached to it. And that was a long time coming and didn't happen the way that they predicted. But it's just amazing the way that technology continues to become part of our lives and creep in so that we're so dependent on it.
Oh, man, I remember when they were talking about, the cashless society, even, say, 20 years ago. And I thought to myself, there is no way people would let them do that to us, like basically have us not be able to pay for things in cash. But they're so insidious, and they work at it in a way. I don't remember the last time I actually paid cash for something. The other day, I had one of those incidents where, you know, all your cards fall out, and I'm going, oh, my God, there isn't any cash in here at all. It's all plastic.
It wasn't so long ago. Well, it doesn't seem like so long ago to me that it was – there were certain places – you know, if you didn't have cash, you couldn't eat or you couldn't buy something. But now, you know, you can buy just the smallest trivial purchase with a credit card, or and now you can do it with a swipe of your phone. So
yeah,
it's very strange.
Well, I mean, with this pandemic too, there were some places that were refusing cash because you could take your chip card or your phone, like you're saying, there's no contact. You don't have to touch anything. So there was a few people even doing that.
Have to tap something. Like a lot of credit cards, you can tap the terminal. The thing they determined, though, with the pandemic is that wasn't a source of infection. It's airborne. So
well,
it doesn't matter.
There's a whole, well, we could get into pandemic politics.
No, we're not. No pandemic politics. By the way, in Star Trek universe, there is no money. Remember the movie Star Trek 4, Voyage Home, where they had to trade in something in order to get money at a pawn shop, and then when Captain Kirk is having dinner with this woman who was the scientist, this female scientist, and when it comes time to pay, there's no money in the 23rd century. He couldn't pay. She did. She had to pay the bill.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're going to travel around in time, what else what are you supposed to do? It's just that I know there was an episode. This is an ongoing debate with Star Trek, but they did have – there was a line somewhere in one of them where – someone said, you know, that they're not paying you enough to do this. And I guess that if you're in Starfleet, there's some sort of credit system that they give you. And then, of course, there's, you know, the gold-pressed latinum that the Ferengi use, and there's certain chips here and there. And so I guess it depends on which part of the Federation you are in.
And well, the Ferengis were kind of outsiders, I think, right?
What was that again?
The Ferengi were kind of outsiders, though.
Well,
they were the renegades,
sort of,
and
they were integrated pretty well with a lot of the different races there because they were traders.
We got to trade this, folks. We got Kurt Collins joining us this week, with Gene and with Randall, it means you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
As life in America looks to return to normal, how can you succeed in the new stock market? With the tech dip, volatility with interest rates, and fear around the yield curve, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text money to 813-813 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text the word money to 813-813. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text money to 813-813. Experience Vantage Point for free. Learn how successful traders generate their wealth. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, Kurt Collins, we're talking about UFO culture. And now, of course, UFOs are back in the news. When we were doing our episode with Gary Voorhees Jr., one of the people who witnessed the Tic Tac UFO, along comes a link to a story at the New York Times, where apparently they leaked some or all of the upcoming report from the Pentagon UAP Task Force. And I assume, Kurt, you've followed some of these stories where I call it waffling. We don't have evidence that UFOs are ET, but we don't have evidence to say they're not.
That's right. And the story, as the original headline came out, was different. It changed within hours. The original headline read, "Government finds no evidence that aerial sightings were alien spacecraft." And within hours, it was reflected more the tone of the article. "Government finds no evidence of alien technology and flying objects, comma, but can't rule it out either." That was both on June the 3rd. Now, the print edition had a different headline when it came out. It was on the front page. It said, "U.S. concedes it can't identify flying objects." So that sort of reflected the spectrum of opinions on that. And one thing about it, though, is that we didn't get any quotes from the report itself. It was just senior officials or administration officials that were giving comments. And we don't know if there's actually anything in the report about extraterrestrials or if these people were asked their opinion, and the article reflects it. But, you know, certainly if there was some evidence, that would have been mentioned. But, you know, they say that it's a can't confirm or deny situation because there's not enough evidence either way.
And now there's another thing that was pointed out here, too. The AP story said this was a status report, meaning that it's still a work in progress, which may be the biggest headline. We don't know what's going on yet, and certainly not one of ours. They threw a hint out, well, maybe some of them might be from Russia or China, but that doesn't cover all of them. Basically, they don't know.
That's right. There were some interesting things, and there's some details we didn't have before. I don't like to read a lot of material, but a couple of quotes are important. "The report determines that the vast majority of more than 120 incidents over the past two decades did not originate from any American military or other advanced U.S. government technology," the official said. And they go on to say, they mention that number, more than 120 incidents again, and say that it also examined incidents in foreign militaries from the past two decades. So there we have at least some definition of the number of cases and the length of time being examined. They're not relitigating all of UFO history. This is relatively recent events, and I don't think I read that portion, but it's predominantly incidents from the U.S. Navy. Apparently they have had the most, and they had formed this recent effort to investigate, which led to the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force, which is a multi-agency cooperative effort. And we don't really know the size of it, if it's a couple of guys on a desk or, you know, if it's like some big squad. I think it's probably a small to medium effort.
Well, the one interesting thing about it here is how narrowly focused it is, as you say. Over 120 cases out of thousands and thousands over the years. So you never know what that's going to bring. The point being here is that it kept the conversation up. They didn't go the Condon route, which is what Kevin Randall first feared, that they would just simply deny the whole thing and that's it. All it did was leave a door open. The unclassified report, and remember this show is being done before then, is apparently due the 25th of June. But then it may still be a status report. It may not say anything more than what we've heard from this. Remember, these leaks are deliberately staged by the officials involved, where they talk to members of the media and gave them a summary, probably verbally because they didn't show any quotes from the report, a verbal summary of what it would say.
That's right. And most of the reporting simply Xeroxed what the New York Times had to say about it. But one agency, and it's kind of unlikely, was CNN, and they did some investigative reportings and claimed that they talked to five people involved. And they added some information, and I'm going to have to read another quote. Additionally, technical intelligent experts still need information on these encounters to reach a conclusive assessment. And I'll skip ahead to the good part. They told CNN that many encounters turn out to have perfectly normal explanations, like a weather balloon or drone. In some instances, sightings have been removed from the U.S. government database tracking these encounters. Okay, I'll cut off there, but they've investigated and eliminated some reports, and yet they still have 120. Now, we don't know how many of these may also be identified or eliminated, but apparently they are working through these and have identified some. And I think when this report comes out, it's very important we have access. Well, if we get access to anything, we don't know if we will, but get access to the IFO, the identified flying object cases, so that we can compare. Well, really give us some idea of the rigor of their investigation. And, like, do they have video from these that we can compare to the unknowns to see, you know, how great the difference is? You know, to really to weigh the evidence, the capability of, well, maybe they don't want our enemies to know this, but, you know, the capability of the infrared cameras and whatever sensors are detecting these things.
What we really need here is, sure, I mean, that's a great idea, but we need access to the ones that can't be identified, what those are. Like, we need to see those original footage, videos of taking off the Nimitz, for example, where people like, you know, Voorhees says they were very clear. You could tell what they were without all of this blurriness going on. We need somebody to bring that information out and show us and take us to it and take us to the place where the guys who landed the helicopter on the ship flew off with it. Right? And talk to the people who analyzed it there, wherever that is. Right? This whole, well, we'll just give you a report thing doesn't tell us who did it, where the files are, what's on, nothing. Right? It's a big red herring is what it is.
Remember, well, too, that there's a classified annex that will have a lot of information that will not go into the version that's available to the public. A number of members of Congress in the Intelligence Committee, for example, do have access. Certainly the President of the United States does. I have no idea what kind of interest he has and don't want to get into the politics of that because he's clearly going to stay away. But once this report is out, he's going to be asked. Clearly, NASA, and the head there is what's former Senator from Florida, Nelson?
Bill Nelson.
Bill Nelson, right. And he lost by just a narrow margin, but he's there saying it should be taken seriously. We're going to take this seriously. We have Kurt Collins, who will also join us for After the Paracast this week. A lot to talk about, as you see. With Gene and with Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Earlier this week, Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced $250 million in funding for the state to build a wall on the border with Mexico. But Representative Henry Cuellar says that the state's wall is unlikely to be built as big as the governor wants. The Texas Democrat tells CNN that President Biden is unlikely to lift certain restrictions that President Trump did during his term to get construction done.
When you look at how many miles he built a little bit over 50 miles of new fencing in 4 years. And that's because he was able to waive environmental laws. So there's no way that our friend Joe Biden is going to waive any environmental laws. So if Trump was stopped, certainly Abbott will be stopped also. If, you know, if he wants to spend $250 million of taxpayers' dollars, he ought to build a grid instead of building the electric grid. He ought to build the electric grid instead of trying to build a 14th century wall.
You're listening to USA Radio News. Former Vice President Mike Pence is speaking out against President Biden. Wendy King has more.
The Faith and Freedom Coalition is wrapping up their conference. On Friday, former Vice President Mike Pence blasted President Biden.
In just 148 days, the Biden-Harris administration has unleashed a tidal wave of left-wing policies that threaten to wipe out all the progress that we made.
Most people cheered, but a few people booed him and chanted he was a traitor. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
And an ultra-conservative candidate has won in Iran's presidential election. Hardliner Ibrahim Raisi won just over 60% of the votes in an election marked by low turnout. Raisi is the top judge in Iran and personally under sanctions from the U.S. He's accused of taking part in the mass execution of political prisoners in the 80s. Raisi will take office in early August. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Kurt Collins. We're talking about all the stories that many of you have read or heard on your favorite cable news channel, that the Pentagon UAP Task Force is coming up with a report where they basically say, we don't know. Of course, the first headline said, well, we don't have evidence that it's E.T., but one thing not explained, and nobody seems to be asking the question, what kind of evidence would they require to conclude that it's E.T.? Would it have to be the spaceship? Would it have to be some physical evidence? What evidence would it be? Would it be circumstantial? Well, because it does things we can't do, it must be from off-world? What constitutes evidence? Kurt Collins, what's your impression?
Well, I think that's the last part you said, where the stories of the report from the pilots and what the videos seem to show, that's why this is being taken so seriously. You know, but it's a lot of this is murky. There are these talk of drones, and they're using, the Navy has used the terminology for UAP to include unmanned aerial systems that they couldn't pinpoint as something like a quadricopter or something. So that causes some confusion. But we mentioned before the break, Bill Nelson, he was asked about the possibility that it could be something extraterrestrial. And NASA has always, if they were asked about anything alien, UFOs, they would pivot to the topic of alien life, that it probably exists in the universe. And, you know, so it was kind of a evasive answer. And they've never talked in positive terms about UFOs that I can recall. And it was very interesting because he said, and I'll just read this short bit, you know, when he was asked about it being extraterrestrial. What it is, we don't know. So now I'm here at NASA. I've turned to our scientists and I've said, would you, looking at the scientific standpoint, see if you can determine so we have a better idea? He said that he had spoken before he went to NASA in his capacity as a senator, that he had spoken to the pilots and was part of this effort by the senators to try to gather information. And now he's taken that mission to NASA, and we've never had that before. So this is truly interesting. So now I'm waiting for the follow through, but it's certainly an interesting prospect.
Okay, what we're getting here again, though, is the same. The same thing. Just let me rant for just a moment on this, okay? Because this goes way back to the very beginning when they decided that instead of calling them flying saucers, they were going to call them unidentified flying objects. So the government agencies define UFOs as UAPs now, which even adds more confusion. But it still has what Jacques Vallée called treacherous, and that is the word unidentified. It lets them tell us they're here without telling us in those words. And we can really see how this works when we apply it to another situation. Like if someone asks if you're unemployed and you have the same option that they use with UFOs, you could say, well, I'm not self-employed. I'm not employed by the government. I'm not employed by Walmart or McDonald's or GM or any known man-made or natural employer known on Earth. So you tell me, right? But people don't get that. It takes that extra step for people's brains to go, oh, they're dodging us on this, right? But when you put it in those terms and you compare the two, it becomes really obvious that they're telling us they're here, but they just can't tell us they're here.
If we can turn back the clock a little bit to compare this to what was happening in 1952, most people interested in UFOs know about the incident over Washington, D.C. that took place over 2 weeks, and it caused such a furor. You know, there were, great radar returns of something on the radar, and everybody wanted to know what was behind this. So General Samford was speaking on behalf of the Air Force in a press conference, and he gave a lengthy statement and then followed by question and answers from the press. And it's really interesting what he said. Of course, a lot of it was about the particulars of that incident, you know, saying that, well, it could have been, you know, faulty radar signals. But he talked about U.S. Air Force policy. And one of the things he admitted, he didn't actually name Charles Fort in this, but he referred to his work, and he said that sightings of this type or reports of this type go back centuries. So that was one thing. First of all, he was saying it's not our fault, and this didn't happen start on our watch. So I think that was kind of an out. And so in a way, that was interesting. And there's several mentions of Ford in some of the Air Force files. They checked out the work, and apparently whether or not they actually believe they're alien spacecraft or whatever, we can't say, but they thought that what he had said, at least in broad terms about these reports, was genuine. And so that's kind of an acknowledgement of something right there. Of course, he went on to say that whatever was happening was not a threat to the security of the United States. However, they would keep watching and give it the attention that it merited just in case something were to arise. There's a lot more to that, but that was the gist of it. And of course, the famous line that came out that probably everyone knows is that there were credible observers of relatively incredible things. You know, there were people, their own pilots even, that they thought were trustworthy that reported these. So they were not prepared to go any further than that. They acknowledged that there was a phenomena and that it was nothing new. What they didn't come out and say outright was there was nothing they could do about it.
Well, like Gene says too, though, it's like all of a sudden we have this particular task force report, and it's as if all of this other stuff that you and I and anyone who's involved in the field knows about goes back decades, back to the 40s, and as you were saying, some people acknowledge may go back centuries, maybe even further than that. So 120 reports. Are you kidding me? I mean, Blue Book alone had thousands, right? So, I mean, who do they think they're fooling here by saying, oh, well, we just got 120 reports? We know they've got way more than that. Like, really, honestly, 120? It's laughable.
Well, before you condemn them for that too much, it could be that these are cases where there is sensor evidence, you know, camera footage or radar returns or something really solid, not just testimony of pilots or, you know, just not eyewitness testimony alone, in other words. And now, if you look at it in that sense, I think any investigator would consider the only 120 pretty substantial. And that sounds pretty good to me.
Well, okay, but then if, you know, guys like Elizondo can be believed, and there are people who think he's actually pretty credible, he says that these things were being cited on a weekly basis, okay, and on their ships and tracked by their ships. And that's just on his watch. What about all the rest? I mean, they've got to have thousands of these, right? 120 is ridiculous when you really think about it.
Yeah, I don't know if that just simply indicates a starting point from when the Navy began collecting information seriously. I don't know. I'm hoping the report will clarify a lot of those details. I feel lucky in some regards. We even get the number 120 or the time frame. You know, that's a start. So that is one, you know, little peek into things. Well, one aspect of this too is the all the publicity that's come out of this, and you know, we all got here from a strange way, from a rock star millionaire getting involved in things, but it took the involvement of the military and the fact that politicians and the government were interested in making a report to really put this thing over, and that's why 60 Minutes is covering it. And then once they've done the story, all these other serious media outlets that would never touch UFOs have become involved, and then you have the ex-presidents and ex-CIA people giving comments on UFOs, which are strangely similar. It's almost like they're reading from the same script. I mean, they're basically saying things like, it's important for us to know what these things are, no matter where they come from.
Let us do our break, guys. More to come with Kurt, Sheen, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. people who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Kurt Collins, you make a very interesting point here, that they're all reading from the same script, which is basically stopping short of E.T., but saying that these things need to be investigated, as if suddenly they all know this is their time. So we have former heads of the CIA, Woolsey and Brennan. We have Senator Rubio. Of course, we have Chris Mellon, who was a deputy secretary of state for both, I think, George W. Bush and also Bill Clinton. Point being, right, of course, here we're dealing with both parties. So in discussing this, we don't have that distinction. In fact, the surveys they did recently showing about a third of the people in the U.S. believe UFOs are extraterrestrial, there was practically no difference between Democrats, Republicans, and independents. As nonpartisan as a subject can get, I mean, we can't get the entire country to agree who the president is. But when it comes to UFOs, a third will say it's E.T.
Yeah, and even our senators are working together on a project. That's amazing. E.T. has united humanity.
Yeah, well, we'd like to think so. Anyway, what are we going to do if we do get this disclosure? We're all going to be out of a job. We're going to be going like, oh, what do we do now? We're going to have to come up with a new podcast.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't tell us where Bigfoot is, and I have a feeling this UFO thing is going to drag on, and it's going to drag on. Remember, as the AP story said, we're dealing here with what might be a status report, and they can come back in 6 months and say we're still trying to figure it out, and maybe reach a point where people will say, all right, fine, let's go on with our lives.
You know, I keep looking to the past for clues, and one of the things that is interesting to look at statements by the Air Force over the years. So in 1952, there was a magazine. It was one of these sensational types that distorted the words of the Air Force, and they were basically saying that General Sanford says aliens exist, and he said nothing of the kind. However, it prompted a response from the Air Force, and they said, as limited as man is in his knowledge and understanding of the universe and its many forces, it would be foolhardy indeed to deny the possibility that higher forms of life existed elsewhere. It would be similarly unreasonable to deny that intelligent beings from some other world were able to visit our planet, at least to travel within our atmosphere. However, the Air Force desires to reiterate emphatically that there's absolutely no evidence to indicate this possibility has been translated into reality. So, they opened the door for the possibility, and they said, we just don't have the evidence. So, you know, I think that was kind of a remarkable thing for him to say.
Well, that was back when people, too, that was before all of the stigmatization really began. That's when they just, for their own security, just didn't want to say what the situation was about, that they were looking into it, whatever the case was. That was before the Robertson panel, probably.
Yeah.
When you go back far enough, though, I mean, there have been other leaks. Like, we know of Edward J. Ruppelt. I keep going back to Ruppelt, his book, you know, the classic Report on Unidentified Flying Objects. Now, Ruppelt was head of their investigative team that was out looking for UFOs. Like everybody says, it was a little tiny office and it didn't have much money. But that guy could go out and requisition an Air Force jet and fly to another base and question pilots in person. Well, I don't know of any UFO investigative agency that can do that in the civilian world right now. None. So as limited as it was, it's still way more than what we've got. Now, he was on the inside and he saw this and he talked to people about this. And he held in his hands a report from 1948 called The Estimate of the Situation. Now, you guys probably know about this, but in his book, this is back when he published it in the 50s, this is exactly what it says. In intelligence, if you have something to say about some vital problem, you write a report that is known as an estimate of the situation. A few days after the DC-3 was buzzed, in this case by UFO in the famous DC-3 case, the people at ATIC, the Air Technical Intelligence Center, decided that the time had arrived to make an estimate of the situation. The situation was the UFOs. The estimate was that they're interplanetary. Okay, you've got a guy from the Air Force who's investigated them, head of their project, who held a classified report that was ordered destroyed, by the way, and is telling us back then that they'd already concluded that they're from off-world. Okay? Like, people, they know this. They've known it for decades. They're still just not telling us.
I'm not willing to go that far. And that report, by the way, that would have been written in, 1949, right? And he talked about it in, say, 1956.
It was written by the people at Project Sign in August of 1948, and then he wrote about it in his 1956 book, right? But, I mean, he's a person who, like, okay, Corso, I'm not so much, like, a big believer. Ruppelt, I think he's honest. I think he actually held this thing and saw it. And we're talking about the best engineers at the time who had studied all of their best reports and interviewed the pilots and people who had chased these things in the daylight with their aircraft. In some cases, even one of them fired on one of them. Okay, so those people, the top people at the time saying they're not ours, they're from off-world, that was then. They already know.
Yeah, there have been people within the Air Force that definitely considered it and some that believed and probably in between. So another thing in the 50s that was interesting, there was a famous 1952 Life magazine article, and that was done with the support of people within the Air Force, and it went towards that extraterrestrial hypothesis. I mean, the whole article, you know, have we been visited from other worlds, this sort of thing. Certainly not everyone in the Air Force was happy with that promotion. But and one of the ways they made the investigation of UFOs look better was to fold in the scientists that had been investigating the green fireball phenomenon. So that sort of shored up the shortcomings of Project Blue Book, where they just had a few consultants like Dr. Hynek and a few other people that were called in as needed. But, you know, the green fireballs was a quality targeted investigation because it was centered around the nuclear facilities. And that's always been a point of interest, and they're very nervous about anything strange happening there.
Right, Project Twinkle.
Yeah.
Right, from back in between 48 and 49, but they ran out of money with that. They had things set up where they could try and track these things, but they never really were able to figure out exactly where they were coming from. They just seemed like, well, they were maybe just big meteors.
Well, the media is, in all the reporting, there are a lot of things to be concerned about. UFOs, national security is one of them. But, even the headline of the New York Times story is like, basically says, is it aliens? Is it aliens? That's what they're pursuing. That's what they asked Bill Nelson and NASA about. And it's like a weird preoccupation. And, it's important, whatever it is. And even some of the people like Chris Mellon and Lou Elizondo and Hal Puthoff that are working from this same playbook are considering other possibilities like ultra-terrestrials, a segment of the human race that developed this technology that's hidden, which almost sounds a little bit like some of the Richard Shaver and the Darrow stuff that, it's either maybe it's the remnants of Atlantis. And some of this is pretty outlandish, but, is it more outlandish than space people or another dimension and another one that's been bandied around? And, Lou Elizondo keeps giving hints about what could be. He doesn't want to say it's extraterrestrial, that it's not. He allows speculation. And I think he encourages it, including in the dimension of, in the direction of time travel. He's saying that this is generations ahead of our technology. But he won't say that he's got anything to really show that. And the Christopher Mellon and Elizondo both are relentlessly referring to the whatever's being seen as anomalous aerial vehicles and craft. And in some cases, it probably is, but I don't know that it's 100%, and there's probably a spectrum of things being seen, and they're characterizing them all under this UAP label, which may prevent us from really finding a whole lot about it.
It may be a situation where we don't want to confront the implications. More to come with Kurt, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.